Order out of chaos. I had a conversation today. They were asking me about disorder or chaos theory and all that stuff. And you know, I studied all that stuff when I was in college. You know, second law of thermodynamics and all that stuff. Chaos theory. So yeah, here's the deal. It's a fallen world and everything's going in disarray, disorder, unless you keep it right. Now the biggest thing is get your mind right. You have to have a sound mind. What the witches want to do is take away your sound mind, take away your sleep, take away your equilibrium, take away your routine and your comfort zone and all that. So they're always trying to cause disorder. But you as a believer have a sound mind and you see the game. They want their world in order, but they don't want your world in order. They want your world in disarray, but they have their world in array. Now, the good thing about it is, when you get attacked like that, especially if you see somebody else's environment, you learn, oh, okay, I can do that in like 2 seconds. I can use that idea and use it for myself, you know. Why didn't I think of that, you know? So the iron sharpens iron, even if it's an attack, even if it's an attack on your soul, your spirit, your soul, your body, whatever, you use it and you learn from it and you bring everything back into order. Because, yeah, mankind is fallen. And so the system that mankind creates is a fallen system. And so you know that. So one of the reasons when I was young, my aunt says, it's sometimes better to have 2 part-time jobs. And I said to myself, I thought about that for many years after I went to college and all, I thought about it after I got saved. Yeah, because a job, one job thinks they're your God. If you have 2 jobs, they don't think you're their, they don't think that they're your God or goddess or whatever you want to call it. And so by having a backup system, always a person can't control you across the board. Because the old flesh mind wants control. People don't really know they're doing it, and you can't be mad at them because they're just trying to survive down here. So that's why Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they do. So when somebody's trying to get you under subjection and control you and all that stuff, do fear darts and abuse and all that, get away from them, but know that you don't have to be bitter because they don't even know what they're doing. People who are not in control of their own inner thoughts, they're not self-aware. So to be mad at them and be upset, it's not even fair to them because they're like zombies. They're NPCs in the cube, you know. There's no reason to be mad at an NPC because an NPC don't even know what they're doing. The devil takes them captive at will, right? And so, it's really easy. That conversation today put me to the next level, I believe, because I started thinking about what he was saying. He's a proponent of chaos theory is the basis. And in 3D, yeah, second law of thermodynamics, in 3D, everything moves to chaos unless you push through to the other side and there has to be sacrifice. A marriage would go in disarray if 2 people didn't communicate. Right, they've got to communicate, and it's going to go disarray unless they go to a counselor or something. It always falls apart. Everything falls apart without the communication, without the sacrifice, without the listening, without the trust and all that. It all falls apart. A business falls apart unless you got people sacrificing. And the good thing about a business, you get paid to do it. I mean, if you got paid to stay in a marriage, yeah, chaotic marriage, but you got paid to bring it in order every day, yeah, man, you really have something going on. But 2 people need to be orderly in their mind, sound doctrine, and sound just healthy, wealthy, and wise, you know. If you don't have a sound mind, it's going to be chaos, and chaos always destroys itself. Wally Cody always destroys himself. And so the guy and his wife are talking about chaos theory, but I tell him, I say, well, okay, so yeah, in 3D, things are going in disarray, but man is destroying himself. But Jesus is going to come back and destroy those that would destroy the earth. But the earth itself is not necessarily chaotic. Even if it does have earthquakes and all, it rebuilds. So the scorched earth, even if they do the scorched earth, it rebuilds. And so even every system that man has in place, which is destroying itself, actually teaches you to be prepared and stronger and smarter and wiser and all that good stuff. Like, I'm getting ready to go take a measurement and go get some carpet put down on the floor. And let's say the first time I mess it up, well, which I won't because I've done carpet before, but let's say I messed it up. It's not a big deal. Treat it as a fun thing. Go and try it again. You learn from your mistakes. Treat everything as a simulation. If you mess up the first time, go at it again. It's all a simulation anyway. Every interaction, every conversation, everything that you're doing is a simulated training program to make you better the next time, to get you wiser the next time, to make you smarter the next time. And things will culminate, because think about it. If you've went through a lot of trials and tests and troubles and con games and all that, the same stuff's going to try to repeat, but it's going to culminate into one big test. And once you pass that big test, the biggest test you've ever faced in your life, there might be one bigger, but you pass that big test, it's going to be hard to for the devil to mess with you. But don't get prideful, because the devil's smarter than you. Humble yourself before God, you know. Let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. So the devil's always going to throw in some kind of new wrench in the program. But the struggle is part of the process. The struggle is real, but it also can be fun. The struggle is fun once you know that you're going to come out on the other side. Once you really understand that all problems have a solution before the problem appeared, and so every struggle that you have, you know you're going to come out on the other side. It's not a maybe, you know it, because it's an overarching pattern that God Almighty has a purpose for your life, and nobody can take you off of it except you. And the only way they're going to take you off of it is for them to get you out of your mind, you know, get you into some kind of drug or drinking or emotional basket case or MK Ultra mind control. But they can't take you off your calling, because it's your calling from God. They're fighting against God. They're fighting God. If you're wanting to do God's will, right? Everything about your life, you want to do God's will. And they don't. Who are they fighting? If your focus is God's will, and their focus is the world, the flesh, for our life, who are they fighting? They're fighting God. They're fighting God. There's no way they can take you off your calling. It's impossible. Because your calling is always going to be there. And it's what drives you. It's why you get up out of bed every day. You get up out of bed for that calling. If you get up out of bed for your calling, and that's your number one thing, how are they going to take you off of that? How are they going to confuse you? How are they going to mess you up? They can't. They either come alongside and help you with your calling, or they submit to your calling. And if there's a man out there listening and God has given you a calling, if the woman's not willing to come alongside you in your calling, in your life, and help you and build you up, you better stay single, because that person's not for you. I don't care how big the talk is. They can talk a lot, but what about the walk? The talk and the walk, two different things. Blah, blah, blah. It's like a car. It's like, okay, so this is my calling. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God called me to do, period. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown. You don't even hear them. You might hear them. But if God has called you to do something, it's like, wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown. You can't even hear them. They're talking some kind of foreign language or something. Because you're doing what God called you to do, and you're not going to get off your calling. And it might not be a big calling. It might be a minor calling. But you know where you belong. You know your calling. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're doing. You understand your calling. It's obvious, the game, people. Even if they pulled a wild card order and pulled you into chaos, and sometimes they do, they pull a wild card, a joker. And so let's say a joker gets in and pulls you into chaos for a season, order out of chaos. It actually refines your calling. I want you to really think about that. It refines your calling. So no matter what the devil does, no matter what Wally Cody does, it just gives you more of a focus. It just focuses your calling more. And the reason I say this is because everybody has different gifts. And so you know what you can do. Especially if you're doing something for 30 years, you've been renting to people for 30 years, you know how that market works. You know you can put an ad on Zillow and you'll get 1,000 calls, people needing a place to stay. And so you're helping mankind. Not only are you helping people, you already know how it works. You already know the game. You already know the flow. It doesn't matter what you do, plumber, electrician, whatever. You already know that no matter what city you go to, there's going to be people who don't know how to do their plumbing. It's unlimited income. Unlimited income.
I'll tell you, friend.
Chicken tenders.
Just give me a 5-10 minute wait, is that okay?
Yeah, large ice water, extra ice.
What's your dipping sauce?
No sauce.
Anything else for you?
That's it. So, you know, if you build a restaurant in any city and you have good service, you're going to stay busy. If it's clean and it's good food, you're going to be busy. Especially at lunchtime, especially if it's near a construction area. You're bringing order out of chaos all the time, and you're influencing people. They don't even know that they're in chaos. And if you have the truth, you're actually influencing people, trying to bring them into order in their mind, in their spirit. Spiritually, they don't even know they're in chaos. They think that they're okay. But everything out of their mouth is contrary, and so you know what you're dealing with. If you bring your mind in order, and you bring your emotions in subjection, the emotions should be in subjection to your thoughts, your mind, your truth. Emotions should not lead. Emotions follow. Truth leads. And so when you bring your emotions under subjection to the truth, to your spirit mind, then you get everything in order. And so once you get your spirit, soul, body in order, then everything on the outside starts to get in order. Become orderly. And so
The outside is second law of thermodynamics. Everything's going into chaos. That's a reflection of the inside of the old Adamic nature, the old Adam, the unsaved person. Everything about them's chaos until they get saved. And then they start to renew their mind and they become orderly. Then they bring things into order. Their speech, their thoughts, everything becomes orderly. And once you get to that point, the unsaved hate you. The witches hate you because they don't like order. They don't like God. They don't like truth. They don't like your freedom. They hate your freedom. They really do hate your freedom, really. When you're free as a bird, they really, that makes them really mad. If you do that for 7 days, you write down on a piece of paper every day stuff you want to bring into order. Bring everything into order. Thoughts, emotions, house, clothes, living room, bathroom, clean the toilet, whatever. You start to bring everything into order. Your words, you're going to change your life. And you're going to be healed from anything that's not healed. Even the way you walk. Let's say you have a pair of shoes that don't feel good. Go get you another pair that feel good, and you start walking in those shoes. Your back gets lined up. When you start walking, your body actually, the way your body's designed, it lines up your spine and all that good stuff. Ride a bicycle, jog, whatever. And so bringing everything into order, changes everything. Especially a sound mind. So when you got somebody trying to get into your world who's disorderly, mentally, doctrinally, you already know what's going on. You already know the game. If you have a sound mind, you have sound doctrine, you know the truth, you rightly divide the word of truth, and somebody tries to get into your world that has no doctrine, can't think right, if you walk to the back of the car, and is the car inspected? Are the tags up to date? No. Disorder. Kick them out. Kick them out. Kick them to the curb because you're going to have trouble. You're looking for order in conversation, in thoughts, in doctrine, in just life in general. Anybody who's bringing chaos, anybody who's not helping you bring your order into your world is bringing chaos. If they're not bringing order, they're bringing what? Chaos. Those two cannot walk together. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Agreement. Break the words and everything will be revealed. Agreement is agreement, mentally agree. Amos 3:33. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? If you memorize that verse, anytime that an agent comes into your world and they have different belief systems, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amos 3:33. How can man and God become in agreement? 33. Jesus went to the cross at 33. How can mankind and God come to an agreement when man is nothing but a sinner? 33. Amos 3:3. Man agrees that Jesus alone is the mediator between God, man and God. God agrees that Jesus alone is the mediator. So if man agrees that Jesus is the way, God agrees that Jesus is the way. There's your 33. There's your Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? You have to be in agreement. If you don't reach in a 33 agreement, you'll never get anywhere in life. You'll have chaos. And if a woman can't adapt to the man and submit to the man and do it his way, she needs to go on down the road. Especially if he's a strong man and he's sound doctrine, he's not drinking, drugging, he's going to work, he has a goal, he has a dream, whatever. Why wouldn't she follow that? Because it might not be the same speed that she wants to go. And so she needs to just go on down the road, Jack. Quit playing games. Quit trying to change him. Quit trying to take him off his calling. Quit trying to take him off his dream. It might be a small dream, but it's his dream. God put that in him. And it might be helping people. Might be helping a lot of people. And one day it might be the salvation that people need. Because when the bottom drops out, and it looks like it's already started to drop out with inflation, everybody's going to be crying. I have a dream, and they shot him. Whenever you have a dream, they try to shoot it down. If you have a dream, they want to shoot it down. Because your dream isn't going to include freedom in that dream. Your dream is not going to be a dream of slavery. It's going to be freedom. Goes back to the Pharaoh. I have a dream. Total freedom. Like a boss told me, he says, you're the freest man I know. I said, you got that right, and it's going to stay that way. If you can find somebody that will come alongside and help you with your dream, more power to them. But most of the time, everybody's got their own little vision that they're working on. Most people don't even have a future vision. They just... Somebody told me that today in that conversation. I said, you know, without a vision, the people perish. VI is to write. Sion is Zion. And that couple I was talking to about the chaos thing, they said, not a lot of people have a vision. I said, I can't understand that. Without a vision, why do you get out of bed? If you don't have some kind of vision, why are you going to get out of bed? Whether it's your health, or it's debt-free, whether it's help other people, build a business, spiritually grow, renew your mind, get strong, eat better. You got to have some kind of vision, or why would you even get out of bed?